Shall we pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher? Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word. And we pray as we look at it that you might be our teacher and open our hearts and minds by your Spirit. And we pray that we would walk away, encourage people, but with a greater desire to serve you as our Lord and Saviour. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 12, as it's already been told. And I want you to think about what comes to your mind when you think about barriers. What's the first thing that comes? And it might be something like a brick wall for you. You might think, yeah, that's a barrier. There's a brick wall. You know it's a barrier. Or recently for me, in my area, we had what was, everyone would know about, a flood. And there's the road that goes out to my suburb. And so I was trapped on the other side and there was a barrier, the water. You can't go anywhere. Or maybe for you, this whole last couple of years, this is what you really think is a barrier, the great COVID mask. You know, it just blocks us off. It isolates us. And the social distancing has been a barrier, hasn't it? Maybe even today you're thinking of, well, Ukraine and the war that's there and what Russia is doing, and now the Ukrainians have had to flee and they're isolated and they can't just go back to their home. There's a barrier there now. There's a great barrier. Or perhaps you'll think something like this, a child that has been bullied and been ostracised by his own friends. And you think, and maybe you have a child that's going through this yourself. And seeing there's barriers all around your child because of their situation. Maybe that's what you think of when you come to that word barrier. It's so disheartening when you see something like this happen, isn't it? Where you can't belong to anyone else and you're not there. Barriers create a loneliness, don't they? That's the problem. Barriers create a loneliness and it makes you feel separated, alienated, isolated. And the reason that we feel this isolation is because basically people long to belong. Everyone longs to belong to something, to someone, to some group. We don't necessarily like to be on our own. Now, the first point that I want to talk about today is to remember. Because he says there, so then remember. Remember who you were. Remember that you were Gentiles, he says, to remember that they were separated. And I want to ask, why does he say to remember the negative? Why remember such a negative thing? Remember that you're separated. Remember that you did not belong. Remember that you weren't a part of Israel. Remember that every single Aussie and every non-Jewish person was included in the exclusion. Why does he want us to remember that? It doesn't seem right, does it? Remember that you were not one of the in crowd. You're like the little yellow duck instead of the black ducks. And that's what he wants us to remember. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says it this way, to remind us of what we were. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions. Now, I want you to notice that because he's actually saying now, it's not your ethnic heritage that isolates you. And that phrase there, as for you, you're dead in your transgressions, that is true of a Jewish person as well. That is with everyone. Because you can see in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ, there's a difference. But now in Christ. So without Christ, we didn't have what we needed. In fact, without Christ, we're powerless. If you're not in Christ, you're out with God. And you're without God, then you have no hope. And therefore, you're racked with insufficiency. You're racked with uncertainty. You're weakened. We are inadequate as people. We're disconnected as people. And in the depth of our being, yet we still long to belong as people. You know, it's important to understand that no matter how successful that one might be all appear to be. It doesn't mean we belong. Sometimes these successes that we long for and want, they just become our little hopes, our little gods. They're filling us with this desire to long to belong. And yet we try to long and belong by having things and looking after ourselves. And deep down, they're not fulfilling. See, no matter how many likes you get on Facebook, deep down, it's not going to be satisfactory. No matter how many followers you get on Instagram, deep down, it's not going to be satisfactory. Because people long to belong, and we long to belong to something more. What we were created for. In our world, this longing to belong is also sought in many places, like our cravings and our fleshly lusts, says Ephesians in other parts. I'm so glad that your church is looking at that Wednesday night lust thing, because our world is so full of that rubbish, isn't it? Everywhere you turn, there's someone trying to sell lust to us. And people becoming multimillionaires by bearing their bodies on adult chat things. But these things often just further serve to place the barrier up, don't they? Adding fuel to sin's fire, in a sense. What our world is doing, Paul says, I want you to remember, what your world is doing is what you did too. Remember, that's what you were. We loved and lived for those things that exclude us from the holy, pure, living God. And we remind ourselves that outside of Christ, there is no hope, there is no future, there is no secure future at all. Outside of Christ, we have nothing but death to look forward to. Remembering what we were helps us to remember what is the reality for the majority of our population. Remember the negative, lest we forget that 3 billion of the world's population is without Christ. Hopelessly lost. CMS sends missionaries, and I believe that CMS and what I do when I come to a church is I want to remind churches to never forget the lost. Never forget the global mission. Remember what you were, what for, so we will make him known to those who are still in that condition of what we used to be in. Our Tanzania brothers and sisters, they would say something like this, and they have a motto: they're daily, desperately dependent on Christ. That's why we remember what we were, so we remain daily, desperately dependent on Christ on a yearly, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. We remember what we were so that you and I would never, ever treat an outsider badly. Because that's what we were, outsiders. And no matter how many people are outsiders, those outsiders still long to belong. Sometimes they just don't know that their real longing is to belong to Christ. Well, the second thing that I want to draw our attention to, and Paul does, is reconciliation. See, in verse 13, he says, but, now in Christ. But that but has been described as one of the most beautiful buts in the Bible. I'm not going to show you any images of any beautiful buts. But now in Christ, he says, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The past, we were hopelessly far away from God, but in the present, in Christ, we are near. Back in chapter 1, Paul says, in Christ, in him, 5 times in 6 verses. And he says, we have every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are chosen. We are blameless. We are holy. We are redeemed. We're forgiven. You and I who believe and are in Christ, the mystery of salvation has become clear. How privileged are we? And all of it was achieved through the blood of Jesus. See, what the blood of bulls and the rules and regulations of the Jews could not achieve for the Jewish community, Christ achieved in his blood. And what the Gentiles and their idolatrous lifestyle deserved, the very judgment of God, Christ took that by shedding his blood. So that both Jew and Gentile could enter the Holy of Holies. Both needed that perfect sacrifice. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In verse 14 and 15, he says, you know, the barrier that was there for those far and near, prevented them from going into the Holies of Holies, was destroyed by his blood. He says the dividing wall was torn down. And in verse 14 he says, now Christ is our peace. And when he's our peace, it means all can come in. All can come into the Holy of Holies. Let me sort of explain what Paul is on about in this by looking at this demonstration or this little image of the temple back in the first century. The blue curtain is or that blue wavy thing is the curtain that was inside the temple. I've drawn it outside so you can see what it was inside the temple. I couldn't put it in there, sorry. My skills aren't that good with this, you know, photoshopping stuff. But that's the curtain. And that curtain prevented the priest from going into the Holy of Holies. He could only go in once a year with sacrifice. It was a barrier. It separated God from the people and it reminded them that they were sinful. Now, the blue arrows point to a wall that was around the Jewish courts and that was to stop the Gentiles from going any further. The Gentile courts were lower than the woman's courts. The woman's courts were lower than the men's courts. And the men's courts were lower than the Holy of Holies. That wall that separated the Gentiles, it was about this high. And the only way you could really get on your tiptoes and look over and see what was happening. On that wall was this inscription, trespassers prosecuted by execution with yourself to blame. They did everything to keep the Gentiles out. Now Christ demolished the dividing wall. Christ shredded that curtain in the temple. Remember when he died on the cross, Matthew tells us, the curtain in the temple from top to bottom tore in two. So in verse 16, both Jew and Gentile, we're told that they become... Oh, sorry. I didn't know that was there. Yeah. But Jew and Gentile have become one person. Together reconciled to God. So that those who were far away and those who were near could come together in Christ. And then they become spiritual stones that can go and be a part of the temple of God. So in other words, there's not one person in the world that has to be far away and not one person has to be near, because everybody is welcome to come in to Christ, in Christ. Remember in verse 15, he said he made of no effect the law consisting of its commands and expressions expressed in regulations. Those that he's saying are those laws and regulations, the Jews that created those extra things, and some of them what God had said they'd do, but he's made them obsolete. They no longer required to fulfill because Christ has done it. Now, I'm not talking about God's moral law, because God is still a moral God. And Jesus, remember, said, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, I've come to fulfill those. Not a stroke or a dot will be removed. But when he says they're no effect anymore, Paul is saying the consequences, the judgment deserved on law breakers has now been abolished. They can't render an effect on us who are now in Christ because he was cursed for us. He was cursed for the hostilities that we showed toward God. He dealt with that wall of hostility. So those Jewish food laws, the Sabbath laws, the circumcision laws, ceremonial washing, sacrificial system, abolished. None of them can affect the way of salvation now, because salvation is not in the law, but in Christ. And when we come into Christ, we begin to relate to God as we should. God, creature. Independent, dependent. Autonomous, subject. And that's when we truly feel and know that we belong. When we find our place in God's world the way he intended. I wonder if you and I will be guilty of perhaps putting barriers up, walls around us as Christians to keep others far away. Do we look down on another ethnic group? Do you ever look down and think, that ethnic group, they don't deserve anything? You know, I'm from, my father's from Ukraine. I can have a hardness toward Putin and what he's doing. But there's no room to look down on an ethnic group. Or does our attitude keep the divide between us and other people? There's no room for a bad attitude. Do we sometimes think that this church is my church, our club? Not anyone can be in my group. It's my group. I had a lady come up to a church that I was a pastor at once, and she said, "I don't know all these strangers. Where do they all come from?" I felt like saying, "Why don't you go over and meet them?" I didn't. I bit my tongue. Then one day, one of the ladies came in and said, "Excuse me," to this new family. "That's my pew. Can you move yourself, please?" So they graciously got up and moved. Did I ever see him again? No. As your area develops and your building develops to fit more people in, as strangers move in, what walls of hostility may you demolish? Or will you erect scaffolds and hurdles for people to jump through? Will you break down their barriers of ignorance? You know how they say that the church is just full of hateful people. We hate, we hate, we hate. That's what we do. No, we don't. We love, we care. We open our hearts. Will your welcome demonstrate the reconciliation and welcome that you have received in Jesus yourself? Well, Christ is our peace. And if he's your peace, you know, he gives you that peace inside, doesn't he? My guilt is taken away. How wonderful is that? Do you feel that peace? Have you got that peace? Your guilt is taken away in Christ. If you don't have that peace, you've got to come to him today and receive that peace. I tell you, you've got to come and say, "I want that peace, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. Bring me in and let me belong to you." And it's the peace with our fellow neighbours, isn't it? If you're at peace with God and I'm at peace with God, I can't be hostile with you. And at peace with my enemies? Yes, I should have a level of peace with my enemies as I invite them to come and join in, to come and belong in Christ. See, our Lord has put to death all hostility between me and every ethnic group and every subgroup in this world. And I should be trying to build bridges and bring them in. In Christ we are one. Everyone in Christ becomes one at peace with each other. Well, let me turn to my third and last point. My last point is results. See how he says, so then? This is the result. So then, this is the results. Not aliens, not foreigners, but citizens. See how Paul draws us in from afar. Citizens? No. You're members of a city, yes, but you're God's chosen people, saints. And then he goes, well, that's not close enough. You're God's household. See, he takes us out from in, right into his household. You can't get any closer than that, can you? This is like going from being orphaned to the adoption agency and then being adopted as the heir. This is like going from the outskirts of Narellan, which is way out away from the city, to the city, to the Centrepoint Tower. This is like being a Gentile in the Gentile courts, going into the Jewish courts, going into the Holy of Holies, the most inner sanctuary of God. That's the results, all because of Christ and his blood, who smashed the dividing wall. Christ has laid the welcome mat out. He's opened the palace doors. And he greets us and welcomes us. The results are, we are citizens. But that citizen that we are a family. And but that new family in verse 21, we're told, is a building. It's becoming a building. Indeed, it's not just any building. It's the temple of God, where God himself dwells. We have become God's temple. Christ the cornerstone, the apostles the foundation. You and I are the spiritual stones on that foundation. Piece by piece, Christ is adding the stones, uniting people from all around the globe, bringing them in, and his spirit, his Shekinah glory, rests on us. And in verse 15, we see what his purpose was. He said back there in verse 15, his purpose was that we'd be one new man of mixed ethnic group people, Jew, Gentile, one new man. That one new man becomes a city. It becomes a commonwealth. No. In fact, it becomes a whole brand new humanity. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what God is doing. That's what you and I belong to, the one new humanity of Christ. All because we are in Christ. Now, friends, if I'm a spiritual stone and you're a spiritual stone, there shouldn't be any hostility between us. And if you have anything, holding anything against someone in this congregation or the other congregation or around, that is a Christian brother or sister, can I ask you, repent. Stop. Go and be reconciled. Break it down. If you're someone that actually fears another ethnic group, or you're worried about new arrivals that will come to our region and to our church, and you have a bad attitude toward it, ask Jesus to smash it today. I wonder how your public worship will continue to go. Is there room for ethnic diversity as we face a world or Australia that's becoming multicultured? Is there ethnic diversity? I remember Gary put his Bible on the floor, I noticed today. If you were in a community where there was a lot of Muslim people and one of them strayed in to visit your church and they had a look and they saw you throw your Bible on the floor, what would they think? They don't even treat their holy book very good, do they? Now, that might be a wrong perception, but will we put barriers up or will we try to break them down? Are we going to rethink how do we minister to a world that is multicultured? We need to think about that. We need to rethink. And why am I saying this? Because remember, at one time, you too were far away. You too were far away, excluded.
in a hopeless condition, but God broke down the barrier for you. He did all he could to break the barrier down for you, to invite you in. And so we can do that for others, can't we? Of course we can. We long to do it for others, don't we? Well, how do we do this? In verse 17, what's he say? By preaching peace to those who are far away and to those who are near. Peace. Preaching peace. That's preaching the gospel. Preaching that Jesus died for your sins so that you and I could be brothers and sisters in Christ. Peace. Preaching Christ. On our doorstep. Around the globe. And it says in verse 18, bringing them to the Father, the Heavenly Father, who has made it all possible in Christ. I'm encouraging you guys to continue on being the true humanity. The true humanity that we are, reflecting the restored image of God. Why? So that others who aren't yet in and don't yet belong might long to belong to what you and I have. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mission. Thank you that you are gathering your people from all the way around the globe. Thank you that you brought us in to your fellowship, to your house, to your family. Oh, thank you, Father, for all the gifts you so freely bestow on us. Please help us to be inviting and welcoming of those who are yet to belong to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.